Papa Jeff's America program is on the air. Anytime, any device, PapaJeffUSA.com. A person cannot be religious and be indifferent to other human beings' plight and suffering. Recorded live in Houston, Texas, welcome to the Papa Jeff's America podcast. We're continuing the conversation one podcast at a time. It's a conversation about what's going on in our world, politics, government, current world events, things that you want to talk about with commentary, exhilarating guests, and what would a day be without Papa Jeff's classic old guy humor? But here's the real question. Is this the America you want to live in? So now, with one sort of kind of good eye and definitely a face for radio, Mr. Here We Go himself, PG the OG, Papa Jeff Cameron. Jeff's America program powered by OG Radio. It's the G-Man here with you, PG the OG, Papa Jeff. Welcome to OG Radio. We're the internet podcast that talks about the things that America, that you want to talk about. Hey guys, we want to hear from you. You can always drop us an email at PapaJeffUSA.com. OG Radio downtown Houston weather, a high today of 85, overnight low of 65. Currently, as we speak, Houston Hobby is 86, Houston Bush Intercontinental is 83, and at the OG Radio Studios in Houston, Texas, it's a sunny 83 degrees. Hey, if you're a regular listener to our broadcast, you're already familiar with our guest, and if you're not a regular listener, well, you should be, right? Andrew Wellborn from Susanville, California is with us again today. And I also want to let you know that there's some big news about Andrew on our broadcast that's coming soon, so keep an eye out on our social media for that. We sat down virtually with Andrew on Thursday, October the 1st of 2020, and of course, it was another great conversation. As you already know, Andrew has a really interesting professional as well as political background. So when we come back, Andrew Wellborn. Don't go away. Stay right there. We'll be right back.
It's a great American tradition, riding the rails through the heartland of America. Campaigning for the White House in the small towns and vital cities that capture the spirit of America. FDR, Harry Truman, JFK, Barack Obama came to America and took their case for a better America straight to the people. Now Joe Biden, fresh off a victorious debate, is following the same path of great future presidents. Biden brought his message of hope for America.
Wall Street did not build this country. CEOs did not build this country. Hard-working average American people given half a chance built this country.
Cleveland, Alliance, PA, Greensburg, New Alexandria, La Trobe, Johnstown. This is the America where Joe Biden was raised, where he learned his values. His inheritance wasn't a fortune from a wealthy dad. It was lessons in grit and determination, caring for others. His neighbors were cops, firemen, steel workers. Joe Biden knows America's heart. Getting up when you are knocked down, never giving up. That's Joe Biden. From America's heartland, for America.
The Lincoln Project is responsible for the content of this advertising.
And welcome back, everybody, to Papa Jeff's America. That's me, PG the OG, the G-Man, and some other nice things I've been called this last week, but we won't get into those because we'll get stuff from our podcast host and the FCC and all of that other stuff. But our guest today is, again, a very good personal friend and a very good friend of the program, Mr. Andrew Wellborn. We got great numbers on his interview last time. Y'all liked hearing from him, so we've invited him back. He's a great politico. He knows a whole lot more about this stuff than I do. And so we've got some interesting stuff to talk about today, and we'll give you all of Andrew's contact information at the end, how to find him. And so, Andrew, good morning in California, good afternoon in Houston, without the H. Welcome back.
Hey, all my fellow Texans out there with the lost Texan out here on the West Coast. It's always great to talk to fellow individuals that might have a like mind and sometimes might not have a like mind, but the bottom line is that it's always fun to have the discussion. And I think that's the point that we're losing these days, Papa Jeff, is having fun with this, enjoying this. I know it's serious. I know the issues are serious, but we can still be a little kinder out there across America when it comes to expressing these points of views than what we are seeing today in America, especially within the media.
I think you're absolutely right. Disagree does not mean dislike, and it should not mean to demean, or it should not do anything like that. And you and I were talking just briefly before we went on air, and I've got some haters, and I'm sure you do too. Although I find that hard to believe, but one of my biggest, I'll use the word hater with a little H. Is a relative of mine, and dude, come on, but hey, haters gonna hate. Isn't that what that song says? So, but yeah, we need to disagree doesn't mean dislike. It doesn't mean demean, and it doesn't mean disrespect. We can, that old thing, we can agree to disagree. So what's going on with you, man? Is California still on fire? What's going on over there?
Yeah. It's a lot of my fellow friends say, man, God must be very angry at California because we are on fire. And there's a lot of reasons why God can be angry with California, especially with some of the silly, stupid legislation that's being passed and signed by Governor Gavin Newsom out here in the state of California. But yes, we're on fire. The smoke is affecting where we live up here, definitely in Reno. And it's just, there's no end sight at this point. There's absolutely no end until it basically burns itself out. But the reality is that, California has got some serious mismanagement issues. And that's one of the things that President Donald Trump pointed out in the debate. And I know we're going to talk about that a little bit later. And it's absolutely true, when it comes to the mismanagement of the forest out here in the state of California versus, say, this global warming opinions. But the smoke is definitely thick. It looks like we might have a little bluer day than we've seen in recent weeks and months. But, the reality is that we know that this is going to continue for some time.
Yeah. Blue sky actually exists on the other side of all that, mud and muck that's up in the air. I don't know if you saw that that meme I sent you the other day. Yeah, picking on California because I'm from California, but California, the only state that mandates electric cars coming up and then turns off the power.
Absolutely. And that's absolutely was hilarious, man. And, but unfortunately, it's a serious issue as we were talking about before. We can laugh about that, but it is a very true, serious issue. And, it's going to be interesting to see how the state is going to eliminate in 15 years an actual gas-powered engine, through this executive order, because that's what it is. It's an executive order that we heard Vice President Joe Biden the other night or last night clearly say that, they have no power with the executive order. So Anyways, it's just the goofiness of the West Coast. And unfortunately, there's a lot of goofiness that is beginning to invade my home state of Texas from this goofy state.
There is.
So, that's definitely going to be the byproduct whenever a Californian moves out of California.
Yeah. And it is happening. It's definitely happened. And it happened with me via Reno. a little over a year ago. You can't live in California anymore. I mean, I couldn't afford to go back. I still have family and friends in California, and I couldn't afford to go back. And I can't afford to go back to Reno. It's out of whack. And so I don't even know. We're happy here, and you know, it is Texas, and it's got so much going for it. And I hear all kinds of talk about, you know, obviously it's known as a red state. I've heard talk that we're really close into it might flip to a blue state. I don't know. You know much more about the polls than I do. I saw something this morning that said that one of the university polls that says that they're statistically tied, Mr. Trump and Mr. Biden, like 1 or 2 points off, but that's within the margin of error. I suppose it all depends on who you ask. Obviously, there's still the jokes going around about Joe's in his bunker. I'm sorry, in his basement. Trump came out of the bunker, all of this other stuff. But I don't know, man. There's definitely a lot of stuff going around, and there is some really serious issues. And did you see that debate the other night? What did you think of that?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, before we get into that, I'd like to make a little quick comment about what you're talking about with the polling, and then we'll get straight into that debate.
Yeah.
Just as an individual who watches and monitors polling, see, Texas traditionally, the voter turnout has been similar to the state of California. The turnout is the turnout, or there's a lack of turnout when it comes to certain election years. And most of the modeling that's being, I would have to say that most of the modeling that's being used comes from Senator Ted Cruz's election to the state Senate from the state of Texas. And just to give a little brief history, we forget, or we remember, or we clearly know out there in the state of Texas that Senator Cruz was elected in a special election. A low voter turnout is what turned Senator Cruz into Senator Cruz. And low voter turnout is tradition when it comes to special elections. It doesn't matter what state, especially out here in the state of California. The California legislature loves special elections because they know that they can win things, and they do win. And they do get a lot of individuals elected in the legislature as a result of special elections. And so I would argue, and I've argued with some of my fellow Californians that are absolute fans of Senator Ted Cruz, I remind them that Senator Ted Cruz barely won his seat. Now, his popularity is in question, and his popularity was in question when it came to Beto O'Rourke. And so, or, you know, anyways, I will get into Mr. No, we don't even need to talk about Beto, but and
it's
that was
a two-parter, I can tell.
And it was just a last minute. Yeah, there was a last minute surge that came out and put Senator Cruz into office for a second term. So that model might not be as correct as individuals believe it is, but it is the only model that political scientists and pollsters have when it comes to indicating or trying to indicate or trying to predict an outcome of an election. Now, a friend of mine just recently went to the Fort Worth area, just visited and came back. And what he said was that the Trump support was everywhere. The American flags, the blue flags, the blue line flags, the red line flags, the Trump flags were everywhere. On cars, on the freeways, flags on trucks. And it was very, 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 very clear, which is a good indication, I think, for the most part, within a region of where a state might be thinking. But the interesting part about that, and the part of the conversation I was having with this individual, was that even in my lifetime, growing up as a young man, I don't think we've ever seen open display for a president ever, whether it be George W. Bush in the state of Texas, George Bush Sr. in the state of Texas, or even President Barack Obama anywhere. So, you know, that these are the indicators that are not taken into consideration when it comes to polling. So, you know, it's just going to be interesting to see if that turnout and these rallies and the support translate into numbers for the president during his reelection. So that's my observation looking into the state of Texas from the outside, but at the same time, still understanding my fellow Texans.
There's still some days to go for sure. And I think a lot more information is going to come out. I know that early voting begins here in Houston on Tuesday, October the 13th. And I don't know that I will actually go out that day, but I know that my wife and I are both planning to early vote in person. I am actually eligible for an absentee ballot because of my vision. However, we're not going to do that. We're going to toss on a mask and go vote and go get a Whataburger and come back home and hide in our bunker.
Get a Whataburger.
Get a Whataburger. Absolutely. No in and out. No in and out here, man. No in and out here. No.
Yeah, I hear you on that. Whataburger, man. That's been a long time since I've had a Whataburger.
It is. Well, you're gonna get here, man. You're gonna come back and you're gonna visit and we're gonna host you while you're here. We're gonna do some live stuff while you're here. That's we got a ways to go before we can do that, certainly. But no, that's gonna be good. So what are your takeaways from the other night? I've heard a lot of stuff about. Well, we've all heard a lot of stuff about both candidates and. I've even heard some stuff about Chris Wallace and different views on that. I would not have wanted to be in his shoes that night. But what's your takeaways there? What did you see and what did you hear?
Well, I have the advantage of actually watching it twice. The first time I watched it was not in the most ideal circumstances within a room of individuals. So a lot of the stuff was missed. I've at the end of the night, I've heard all the commentary, all of the disgust, it being a poo-poo show and this and how horrible it was and how horrible President Trump was. You get the spin, of the media spin on it. After watching it here about an hour before we, before I called in to do this broadcast with you, it wasn't even close to a lot of the hoopla spin. You find that actually Joe Biden, Vice President Biden, was the first one to interrupt. Chris Wallace was the first one to interrupt. And the problem with Chris Wallace is that Chris Wallace would not allow either the president, more so the president, but in some cases even Joe Biden, to finish the thought. And the problem with Chris Wallace is that if you, as a moderator, first of all, you're there to ask some questions. And you ask some questions. You're not there to inject your opinion.
True.
Or your opinion of a thought of whatever you think the president said or should say. You're there to ask a question on behalf of the American people. And quite frankly, if I was President Donald Trump, or if it was President Andrew Wellborn, I wouldn't sit there and just let you smear me. I would immediately respond. And especially if you take a drive-by on me and the moderator wants to say, okay, we're going to move on. No, we're not going to move on. We are not going to move on. So ultimately, if you watch it during the two-minute time period, everybody's talking about how President Donald Trump broke all the rules and that shows how he governs and blah, blah, blah. It's an example. Right. You know, the reality is that President Donald Trump was very calm during the 2 minute. Where they got heated was the discussion part of it. And so I don't know if there was rules as far as how long somebody was going to speak during the discussion. But if you watch it closely, they did a good job as far as not really interrupting them. It was mostly during the discussion portion of the debate. Now, I prefer good verbal combat. I'm a big fan of watching the House of Commons with the British Parliament. This idea of somebody wanting somebody to be presidential. Now, for me,
when you hear the word presidential, that's a dog whistle for being controllable. See, the president is not there in any capacity. And this is another myth about, and we can get into the myths of the United States government and our thoughts of checks and balances and power and all this other stuff. The president is elected to govern based on a national level. So the president is elected based on national concerns. The two houses of Congress, the House of Representatives and the House and the House of the Senate, I'm sorry, the U.S. Senate, they're there to represent the states and the districts within the states. So all this concept about how President Donald Trump is a dictator, well, guess what, man? The president is supposed to run the country. And if it means that he's a little dictator-ish, then so be it. That is his job. His job is not necessarily to bow to Congress, to bow to an opponent during a debate, and definitely not to bow to the media. So overall, I after watching it this morning, I'm a little more firmer on my thought that, you know, you saw President Donald Trump really, really show some weaknesses of Vice President Joe Biden. Now, as a political guy, my biggest concern, even back when we were calling it, and I've won several steak dinners whenever, and I even went against Joe Pags, and Joe Pags appeared on one of our shows, when I clearly said that Joe Biden was going to be the nominee for the Democrat Party. And I even made that prediction before Joe Biden even stepped into the race. And I also had the position that, you know, my biggest concern is that Joe Biden is very capable of going toe-to-toe with President Donald Trump. And I truly believe that if it was a different day, if it was maybe 4 years ago or maybe several years ago, Joe Biden would be very capable of going toe-to-toe with Donald Trump, which means that he would be very capable of going toe-to-toe with all of the dictators around the globe that we are facing some issues with in the near future.
Yeah.
So my take on the overall debate was that the president had his explanations. He explained, he answered the questions, but when Chris Wallace did not accept the answer, that's when he was interrupting the president. And that's not your job as a moderator. You know, as a host on your show right now, you're letting me finish before you speak. I allow people to finish before I speak on my program. So moderators need to allow somebody to speak. You know, if there's a light up there, a caution light, normally the yellow light said, okay, you're coming up on the end of 2 minutes, so the candidate knows. I don't know if that was in play, but traditionally, those tools are what are in play for a candidate to realize that the 2 minutes is coming so they can wrap up their answer rather right. than a moderator trying to interrupt their answer because maybe the moderator doesn't believe that they're getting the answer that they want from a candidate. That's what we clearly see with Chris Wallace. But as the president of the United States, President Donald Trump, after watching it, like I said, a second time, was pretty concise and clear and very patient and allowed the 2 minutes to occur. Then they got verbal with each other during the discussion, as we said. And the big thing that I believe that Donald Trump really showed was that Joe Biden is no longer maybe the Joe Biden that I feared or I thought would be capable of taking on the president of the United States. And it's clear that if he couldn't handle the pressure of Donald Trump, if President Joe Biden could not handle the pressure in that debate with Donald Trump, how's he going to handle the pressure with all the world dictators? And how's he going to handle the pressure of the lobby, the K Street lobby that owns, you know, the United States Congress, that does not currently own this presidential president? So, I mean, that's where we are. And that's my take on it. I absolutely love the debate. I love the smashing. This idea that you have to sit there and be presidential, and by being presidential, you're sitting there taking all the hits. No. If you're going to take a hit, you know, as we say, you know, Jeff, once upon a time, I know you understand this. When we were on the playground, if you swung at somebody, you better be ready to get hit back.
Oh, yeah.
And that aspect of it has been taken out of the whole process. And that's what you see with President Donald Trump. Yes, President Donald Trump was taking on two individuals. Unfortunately, Mr. Wallace had his agenda more so than the agenda of the people. So lots of stuff was said. I don't think the debate was as horrible as the media is making it. And especially if you go back and you've got another hour and a half of your life to give, go back and watch it.
Yeah.
You'll see that it was not at all as portrayed. And as far as the vice president calling the president a clown, will somebody shut this clown up? I'm fine with that. I was not offended. I laughed. I said, okay, that's being tough. I'm okay with that toughness. I might be amongst the few individuals, the rare breed, the different cut of the cloth, but man, my generation, I don't know. But I enjoyed the debate. I don't want to sit there and listen to scripted answers. I don't want to sit there and be calm and show that you can take a BS hit. If somebody's going to put a lie on you, hit them back. But that's me. That's what I like to see. So I was pretty happy watching the debate again.
Well, I'm definitely going to do that. I don't know the answer to the warning lights and such. I wasn't able to hear the Chris Wallace breakdown of the rules pre-debate right in the beginning. So I don't know what they were actually dealing with, and I haven't done any research on that, but I agree. And I remember way, way back in the day, and I am assuming that these things still hold true back when I would debate in classes in high school, and I didn't do any in college, but you know, there was Robert's Rules of Order, you know, and there were things that you followed. And I don't know. Well, I mean, they kind of seem to change the rules as they go. I know the rules were specified out, and the media has said that both camps agreed to what the rules were going to be. And that was one of the talking points, if you will, on several of the networks that, well, they just should be able to cut off the mic if the candidate's not answering the question. And both sides would have to agree with that. And you know, I agree with what you're saying, though, is that neither side was able to just let the other person talk. One person you may think has a more history of interrupting and such, and one may not. I not to pit side against side, but just one thing is it's common courtesy, and I enjoy the fight also, the verbal fight. They should be able, because we, the American people, want to know where each one of them stand. And that's one of the things that I heard on one of the networks, that Mr. Trump didn't necessarily have a plan, if you will. Now, that was probably jaded somewhat, but that his staff wanted to give him talking points and wanted to give him pat answers. And, you know, but when he's on the teleprompter, he sounds, I guess, presidential, if you will, but is he really telling us what we want to hear? Or is he, you know, he's almost better off when he just goes on and rants, if you will, because then we know really, I mean, they said back in the day, let Trump be Trump. And I think that's what we saw. I think we saw Trump as Trump. And I think it was, I am going to go back and watch it again, though, because I have that hour and a half that I can invest. I'm a sad case. I have that hour and a half where I can invest in there.
But, yeah.
There's definitely a lot of stuff on the table. The Supreme Court justice nominee is coming up, and folks are arguing about, well, you know, you couldn't get the American public any more money because of the shutdown, but you can get this person, you know, this thing done in 6 days, and that's a whole other thing. But, you know, and pre-existing conditions, and we know. What do you think about the healthcare plan? It almost seems like, because he says he has a healthcare plan, and the only thing I've seen coming out is he's going to give Medicare recipients, which I'm not there yet, close, but not there yet. He's going to give you a $200 gift card, in other words, for prescription drugs and whatever. It almost sounds like, because they're saying they, you know, the the left media, if you will, is saying that he's going to do with getting rid of the ACA in the Supreme Court. He says it's not on the docket. I believe that it is. He wants to get rid of pre-existing conditions. But then the right is saying, no, he doesn't. Isn't he kind of rebranding the ACA?
Yeah, that's an interesting point. And he didn't say it wasn't on the docket. He said it wasn't on the ballot, is
yes.
what he said.
Yes.
Yes. Because he was making a joke with the vice president that it's not on the ballot.
Right.
So,
and it's not. That's true.
Before, okay. So, healthcare. One of the biggest problems that the president has, and I will clearly I make this clear. I've had the privilege of being in the room with the president when he was candidate, Donald Trump, and listening to him speak. And I call it the George W. Bush effect, because I also had two opportunities to be in the same room with President George W. Bush. And George W. Bush was, in my opinion, awesome off the cuff. Where he had the biggest troubles was reading a teleprompter. Mm-hmm. And that's, I think, where President Donald Trump is in the same boat. When he's off the cuff, man, he relates to people. When he's reading, okay, he reads. These are the issues. But when he gets off the cuff, that's what makes him, I think, relatable to a lot of middle-class voters. And but where, I guess, if you want to call it the biggest mistake that he makes when he speaks, it falls back. And I don't know if I said this on the last program, but if I did, I'll say it again. One of the biggest things that whenever I advise a candidate, simple, say what you mean what you say. Don't assume that somebody's going to understand what you mean. And I used to tell that to individuals who would come up to a particular reporter up here in this area, and I'd say this to them also. Say what you mean what you mean what you say. Don't assume, because he's going to write verbatim what you say. If you say it and you don't think you said it that way, he's going to write it that way, and then you're going to be mad. So the president will say stuff with the understanding that people understand, and that's what gets the media all upset, which is why they'll fact check him. And it falls really something as simple as the president of the United States said that red car over there, and the media will look over and they say, no, it's not a red, it's maroon. And that's how silly some of the fact checks go with the president. But nevertheless, he is who he is. He says how he says it, and it's relatable to just us common middle-class folks, which is why he's very, very popular amongst middle-class Midwest states. Now, back to healthcare. Healthcare is very, very complicated. And the debate will go on as far as it being a role of government. But the reality is that the big deal was the individual mandate. That was obviously the biggest struggle for any company. Mm-hmm. Any business will say that that mandate thing was crazy. The cost factor on the employers is another thing that is just ridiculously high. So the fix to healthcare, the question is, should government even be involved with it? What makes it needing to be fixed? And I said that very quickly, and the reason is because I almost went down a road that we don't have time to go down the road. But when the president spoke of his healthcare plan, he did. He spoke. He clearly put his plan out there before Mr. Wallace. And Mr. Wallace just rejected it and interrupted him. And even Vice President Joe Biden made the comment that the executive orders had no power. So the big thing that we have to realize is what the effect's going to be with the Fair Nations Act that he's talking about. The price cut that we haven't seen yet is going to be interesting. It doesn't go into effect until the beginning of the year, because one of the things that the vice president said is absolutely true. You have got to give businesses the ability to adjust to anything that you mandate on them. And that is absolutely true, no matter what the business is. And that's why whenever the Congress or the legislature, local state legislature, pass any type of mandates on a business, whether it be healthcare or anything else, there is a grace period for businesses to make that adjustment because of the obvious impact. And anytime you see an adjustment period, Papa Jeff, that means there is an impact.
Yes.
Clear.
Get ready for the impact. That's right.
I think the president put out there what his you know, plan is going to be. It just wasn't accepted by the moderator. And then the question is whether that is going to be accepted by the voters. But we're just going to have to wait and see on the healthcare issue. I'm a healthy guy. So fortunately, I know that I'm paying for a lot of unhealthy people out there. That's just the way it works. That's the way my insurance premiums work. And I'm okay with that. I know that there are some people out there across America, out here in the state of California, that are getting some benefits that they need, not necessarily maybe what they want, but what they need as a result of individuals like myself that pay an insurance premium and do not use it.
Mm-hmm.
So really the big question and concern is who's responsible? Who is responsible for the cost of an insurance on individuals? And that's where we're going to always have the debate.
Absolutely. And I think that was the downside of the individual mandate, especially from the younger people, is that they were mandated to have insurance. They were not people that used insurance. They were healthy people. But that gets the money into the fund that pays for other people, precisely with what you were saying. You're a healthy man and you don't use your insurance as much as, say, someone like I would, because I have several of those pre-existing conditions just because of age. And when you're awesome, this happens. And you're so modest as well as I am. So, you know, I have those pre-existing conditions. And so the fear, if you will, of taking away that option or of that potentially, let's say, going away is a fear. And there is the fear of the people, because that's what's being put out in the media, is that, and it was put out initially back in 16 as repeal and replace. Well, replace with what? And I think that question is still being asked today. Replace with what? Mr. Trump says he has a plan, but I don't know that we really do know what it is. And of course, that tells people that, or they bring it on themselves, that he doesn't know what it is. And the administration says, yes, he does. And you'll find out. But I remember Nancy Pelosi said some years back that something to the effect of, well, you have to vote for this, but you can't find out what's in it until you vote for it. So that's, I agree. You don't think that, I think I know your answer to this. You don't think a government health plan, although probably expensive, where just healthcare for everybody is feasible?
You know, one of the things that the president exposed is the answer to this question. Oh man, I was hoping we'd get to this. So we have to look at what the president has done. Joe Biden has made it very clear that the executive order for favor nations is going to go away. Pharmaceutical companies are very unhappy about this piece of legislation, which is going to be a major, if it goes through and it holds, it's going to go a long ways as far as making healthcare a whole lot more affordable. So let's talk about the socialized medicine. So what the president has exposed is how a cost for a medication is sold for a dollar in Europe, but sold for $15 in America. So as a result of $1, you have socialized medicine. So you have a socialist nation across Europe able to provide it based on a tax rate, not even close to the United States, because the United States, we are paying for that socialized medicine. The recipients in America are paying for that prescription. so that it can be provided for free, I guess, in socialized Europe. Mm-hmm. That's the big picture that's not being seen. So yes, if you want to mandate that Pfizer, well, Bayer is a German company, and all these Johnson & Johnson and all these other pharmaceutical companies to sell it to the United States for $1, then we'll be able to have this serious discussion of socialized medicine, affordability. So it's the same principle that I just mentioned with you, whereas right now, currently, I'm a healthy man. I hope I do not need my insurance that I'm paying for right now through the nose, so that it provides people with the insurance or the healthcare that they need. That is the same concept of what the president of the United States has exposed when it comes to his executive order. So really what's at stake now is whether or not a healthcare plan or a significant cost savings possibly to the healthcare industry, which in theory should be passed on to individuals like yourself with pre-existing cases, is really at the ballot box. Mm-hmm. And that's what the president needs to really, really, really communicate. And that's what pharmaceutical companies don't want. And this is a big deal with what the president has done. And his campaign, in my opinion, needs to get out there more concisely and clearly articulate that and explain it as simply as I just did.
I agree. I think if everybody could just hear it like that, it does make sense. You're not, there is not something for nothing. It doesn't exist. You're going to have to pay for it somewhere. I think our closest neighbor that has the socialized medicine system is Canada. But the tax rate in Canada is significantly higher than it is here in the U.S. And if that's what we want, then we are going to have to pay for it, because it's not coming from nowhere. People can't work for free. It has to get funded somehow. So there's trade-offs. And I suppose I'm one of the ones that says, yes, I think everybody should have it. I think it should be a basic human right. Because in my previous line of work, I saw people that had to make those choices of, do I pay for my food or do I pay for my medicine? So I think that that should be paid for. But I think where it tends to go is that the tax base is going to go up. And what that means is that the people that have more money, the elite, if you will, are going to pay more money. And that's historically been a problem. And that's a whole different show. But it's if we're going to have it for everybody, if that's what ultimately comes down, and I don't know which way it's going to go, the issue will obviously probably outlive me. We'll just have to see where it goes. But yeah, I think it's we'll have to see where it goes. I'm anxious to see what his plan is. I'm kind of on the side of I don't know. I'm not as good as you are of seeing what President Trump is saying without saying it, that kind of thing. I try and take my MSNBC glasses off as much as I can to get to the reality of what's actually going on, and try and stay in the middle. Certainly as a broadcaster, and I fail at that every time. But yeah, it's interesting, and we're definitely going to have you back. There's a whole lot of stuff that we could definitely talk about. Moving on to just, cause I've got a couple of notes here. And because you are in, law enforcement, you are, and you're in the corrections end of law enforcement, and have done that for a long time. And President Trump is definitely running on a law and order platform. And there was some back and forth about Joe wouldn't say law and order, you know, all of that. But what do you think about this stand back and stand by, not denouncing white supremacy, the Proud Boys issue? Because I'm sure you have contact in your place where you work, of white supremacy, certainly. What's your take on that? Where's that headed? Where's that going?
Yeah, that's interesting because until last night, I've never heard Proud Boys. I've never heard of a group called Proud Boys. And so I was taken back. And what I believe that the president meant, because they included militias, and we've had the discussion about militias. They've included the militias as being part of the white supremacist groups, which is absolutely false when it comes to what a militia. Now, I'm not saying that there's not little groups of militias out there that are not, or should we say, are not white supremacists. But the problem was is that the question was thrown in there, or the comment, the statement was thrown in, you combine two different groups. Obviously, we know what militias are, and I'd never heard of the Proud Boys. There's no doubt in my mind that the president is going to condemn any type of supremacy, white supremacy, when it comes to it. The idea of him being a racist is just kind of ridiculous, especially if you watched him in his Apprentice episodes, which I've seen every one of them. Okay. And then, of course, his daughter is, or son-in-law, should we say, is Jewish, which we forget sometimes is a race of people in itself. But when it came down to him denouncing Proud Boys, rule number one, I'm not going to denounce anything that I'm not aware of. You know, you can ask me about something. My usual response is, well, I don't know who they are. Who are they?
Right.
That probably would have been a better response. And when you talk about local domestic issues, it's not really the president of the United States' job to, in my opinion, to interfere with local domestic municipality state issues. But they always seem to draw the president into those. So, if the president would have been better prepared on this, I would have came back, well, do you condemn Antifa right now? That should have been the counter question from the president. He missed that opportunity. That's one of the biggest misses that I saw, that he didn't clearly come back with a hit because he was truly trying to answer the question. He was focused on what the question was more so than coming back with a counter. So Proud Boys, I don't even know who they are, to be honest with you, Papa Jeff. And I don't know what impact they have on the election right now. Now, I don't know if we see any Proud Boys out there burning the streets and burning the buildings of these blue cities within these blue states as much as we see Antifa taking over a Black Lives Matter movement. If I was part of the Black Lives Matters movement, I would be telling all these Marxists and these Antifas, stay the hell out of my movement. That's exactly what I'd be telling them.
Mm-hmm.
Because I'd be upset that these guys are taking maybe a legitimate issue and turning it into something very negative.
Mm-hmm.
So, there's no doubt in my mind. I don't believe that the president is a true racist like they're trying to point him out. I mean, his history clearly shows he's not. But that seems to be the label these days. Once upon a time, you probably remembered the history. The word was communist in the 40s and the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the word racist now is the equivalent of that. Oh, you're a racist, so we must condemn you. The word is thrown out so much in such an inappropriate way in a lot of cases that we're going to start to lose the meaning or the sensitivity to the words. And let me go a little bit further on this, and maybe I'll make this comment and we can probably discuss it in future shows. You know, we forget that you have a right in America to be a racist. You know,
you do.
You have the right to be prejudiced in your heart. You do. The question is whether or not people want to agree with you or not. But what you don't have a right, Papa Jeff, is to act in a harmful manner because of your racist belief.
Mm-hmm.
So because of that, that takes the argument of institutionalized racism off the table, which is why they've evolved it into systemic racism, meaning that the individuals within the system are racist more so than the institutions themselves. And so back to your original question, I just, uh, I, I was taken back a little bit as well. I would not respond. But at the same time, you know, Papa Jeff, I have a song that's out that's called Born American Pride.
Yes.
We have a trademark right now that's called Born American Pride. We have a t-shirt line that's coming out, Born American Pride. And there's absolutely nothing racist about being proud to be an American. But right now, I'm even struggling. I'm going up against the market right now because of the perception that Born American Pride could be perceived as racist. So this word racist and these ideologies that if you're just proud to be an American, if you have Born American Pride, unless you have a doctrine stating in your charter that you are a white supremacist group, who are we to call them a white supremacist? Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Now, being proud of America and American exceptionalism, let me tell you something. I am an American first guy because I understand some of the things that we talked about. I understand that the European socialist medicine works because of the cost Americans face. And that executive order could expose that very, very drastically. And if you go back, a quick little history lesson, remember when President Barack Obama, and I'm very kind to President Barack Obama. I've been very kind to him on my program because I just don't believe in being nasty. I respect the office and I respect the individual that holds the office. I can disagree with them, but I'm going to do it politely and civilly. But when President Obama was elected, when he went to his first G8, G10, G12, however many nations are going to attend, he was lectured. We forget that the European nations lectured him about the path of socialism he wanted to take America down. And the reason is because the European nations invest in our stock markets.
Mm-hmm.
We buy oil from Saudi Arabia, and the Saudis purchase a lot of stocks in our market because the Arabian and the Middle Eastern nations don't have a stock market. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the money kind of circles back. And the European nations were very, very concerned with President Barack Obama taking the United States down the road of socialism because they knew that they would not be able to provide the programs within their societies at the level that they do based on the tax rates and the way their system works. So, yeah, back to the racist part of it. Yeah, I don't know, man. That one took me back. That truly was a moment, I think, that the president missed because he didn't expect it. I think we just saw a moment where the president didn't expect something and didn't have an answer for it. But what happened was, I think what he was saying was for the militias to stand by more so than the white supremacist groups.
And I can see that. There's that old adage that, you know, it's not necessarily what you said, is how is it received? And from what I've seen in the media, the white supremacist organizations have taken it as a battle cry, whether he was meaning to say that or not. And he did try and walk it back yesterday. As he was heading out in one of those impromptu pressers where he was headed for the helicopter and they asked him about it. And he said that he didn't really know who the Proud Boys were. And the media is, of course, now getting a hold of that and saying that some years back he didn't know who David Duke was affiliated with the KKK. So, you know, again, right media, left media, I don't know if there is such thing as center media anymore, red, blue.
How many people knew who Robert Byrd was? Yeah.
Exactly. Exactly. You know, the grand Yahoo. I mean, I know there was a title because I heard a report on it last night, but I don't know. It's crazy. I think it's going to get crazier before it gets better. And,
you know, Papa Jeff, I'm going to summarize it like this. I don't mean to pull a Chris Wallace on you here, but let me summarize it like this, because I know we're probably getting pretty close to time. White supremacist groups get to vote, just like the Marxists get to vote in America. Racists get to vote in America. And as I go forward with my Born American pride, there's no doubt that somewhere, somehow, there's going to be some KKK members out there that might be adorning my shirts. I get it. You know, that's like holding the gangbangers accountable for wearing Air Jordans right. whenever they do a drive-by and shooting somebody. But there it is right there. There's another point right there. I mean, if we're going to start talking about the white supremacist, I mean, I'm going to put a fact from the law enforcement, then start condemning Crips and Bloods, because more black people are killed because they are a Crip or a Blood by a Crip or a Blood than white supremacists have killed probably in our modern history. So the black on black crime is directly related to gangs, drugs, whatever reasons, more so than white supremacists, I'd have to say. And I found that it was interesting that I don't know how the FBI has concluded that white supremacy is the biggest threat in America when you need to condemn, you know, Crips and Bloods as being the biggest threat towards fellow or other black people in America. So that's from a law enforcement perspective.
Yeah.
Seeing prisons filled with individuals because affiliations with the Crips and Bloods street gangs that are killing each other over dope. So there's a real answer.
Yeah.
No question.
That's true. That's true. And that's absolutely. I worked for 3 years in Compton, and downtown Compton, California, and it's sad. It really is. And again, a whole nother broadcast. But it's people, at least for now, in our democracy, everybody has a right to think what they want, say what they want. Sometimes there's a cost of things that you say, but we're able to think what we want to think. And I think it's a great way of life. I really do. You know, I asked that question.
Go ahead. It's unfair if all of a sudden here's the white supremacist group or KKK is holding up Trump flags. I mean, that's an unfair analysis. You know, they get the vote, people. That's no different than, say, like Louis Farrakhan holding up Barack Obama banners. Give me a break. You know, that's part of America. You get to vote. You know, the Constitution doesn't say you get to vote as long as you fall under these guidelines.
Right.
It says you have the right to vote. You got to vote the way you believe. And we got to get back to those basic principles of understanding some of the controversial things that you and I just engaged in.
Yes.
On the later part of this program. When we acknowledge that we are over-sensitizing things in the name of direction, you know, how weak are we getting as a nation because we're oversensitive? I really enjoyed the debate. I really enjoyed it better watching it the second time in a quiet room by myself.
Yeah.
To really see that most of the analysis by the media is absolutely incorrect. And, you know, and moderators need to do the job of moderating. Ask a question, regardless if you don't like the answer. I mean, whatever the candidate says can be fact-checked later, but not mm-hmm. at that point. Do the debate. Let people get their point across. And let the American people decide.
Wait for the answer. Everybody's got an opinion. And that's what's great about America. And guys, you heard Andrew talking about his Born American Pride clothing line and music availability. BornAmericanPride.com, check it out. AndrewWellborn.com, check it out.
No, there's not BornAmericanPride.com. It's just AndrewWellborn.com.
Ah, okay.
AndrewWellborn.com. BornAmericanPride.com.
Okay. Yes. Also, his weekly radio show in Susanville, Northeast California, 503report.com. Looking forward to being able to listen to that again. He's on Facebook as well as Andrew Wellborn. Andrew, thanks for coming on. Definitely appreciate you. Definitely got a lot more.
Real quick.
lot more stuff to discuss.
Real quick. Yeah,
go ahead.
Yeah. You can reach me at 503 Report on Facebook. The 503 Report is broadcasted over SierraDailyNews.com.
Gotcha.
So there's no 503report.com. Yes. So you can follow me on Facebook at 503 Report, and you can follow me at SierraDailyNews.com on Fridays. In fact, I enjoyed doing the show today because it's always a preview. So a lot of the things that we talked about today, we'll get into more harder detail on Friday.
There you go. So you've got the latest on where everything is, and I'm going to update my notes on where to find this guy because I need to know where to find him as well. Great guy, Andrew Wellborn. Thanks for coming on. We'll do it again. Guys, you're listening to Papa Jeff's America on OG Radio. Stay right with us. We'll be right back. Thanks for joining us in Papa Jeff's America. Papa Jeff's America is recorded live at OG Studios in Houston, Texas, and is a production of Cameron Communications. Special thanks and musical credit to Texas Radio Fish, Galveston County, Texas, online at ccmixter.org. Please subscribe to our podcast at papajeffusa.com or wherever you get your podcasts. Check out our website at papajeffusa.com where you can drop us an email, check out other episodes of our podcast, or you can link to all of our social media, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and soon, our new YouTube channel. And you can also call or text us at 281-940-6980. Thanks again for joining us. We're looking forward to seeing you next time when we continue the conversation, one podcast at a time.